Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are finishing up our book, Presence, by Amy Cuddy. This is going to be our last episode, really digging into, this has been just such a great, great book. I want to go ahead and bring my co-host, Amy Frost, on immediately, because just love to have her. We're going to be covering three chapters, because a lot of it's some review, but then there's some little nuggets that are through 9, 10, and 11 that we really want people to know about. And again, encouraging everybody to go to the book and also go to the transformation-cafe.com for all the different episodes that we've had on that, just to get a real good look at a lot of different other information that's available. My husband, Andrew, does a really great job of doing the back end of making sure that there's all kinds of YouTubes and articles and all kinds of links that are just really amazing to be able to go with that. And also encourage you to go check out our store. We've got books and different items and stuff like that that we really want to have out there for people to be able to do that too. So, and just to remind everybody, I talked last episode about a special event that we're going to be having going on the weekend of the 1st through the 3rd of April with Mark Nepo. And Mark Nepo is a well-known spiritual and poet. And he's going to be at Pine Manor, which is in Elsinore, California. And I'm going to be a part of that weekend. So people who are going to be coming with the Transformation Cafe program, we're going to have some special breakout periods after Mark's done his presentations and just kind of having some afterglow of different things that we're talking about. That love to meet everybody who's regulars. Have a couple people who are letting me know they're going to be there. So we're excited about them. And we're going to have a couple of our cafe people coming as well. So some of our regular diners are planning on being there as well. So we're going to get us together, and I'm sure we'll have a post show about that as well. So it's going to be real interesting to have that. So, and if you have, that will be listed on the transformationcafe.com as a link. So you guys can go ahead and check out that. But again, if you go to pinemanor.com with Mark Nepo event, and it's called Within the Miracle. And I think that's a really great title for the kind of work that Mark does. It's always really amazing and very reflective. I guarantee you will come away different from that weekend than when you came in. So, Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about. Very excited.
Me too. Me too. There's just, as always, you know, when we do the stuff with Amy Cuddy, you look at these different chapters and the information and you think you know what's going to be happening with it. And again, we get surprised, you know, week after week. And there's a part of me that's kind of sad that we're moving from presence, but yeah, there's been so many full things that I know that tonight I'm excited. Amy's going to be sharing a few stories of just some stuff that she's really been noticing since we've been introduced to the information and how that's been affecting her work and also just on a personal level. But to want to remind everybody, our last episode was 294, and it was Posture, Technology, and Starfish. And really interesting stuff about, you know, if you're into computers, into gaming, all that kinds of stuff, your avatar will even be taking on postures and height differences and things like that, but just your personality of having be something that can affect you in the real-time world. So there's just a little taste of something that you, when you go back and check out that last show, again, 294. Gosh, we just got so many great things that we're going to be covering tonight. And a lot of it's going to be just really targeting and really, you know, setting off that arrow to be just the different kinds of stuff that we want this show to be something that it's a great takeaway from an overall view, but also just some things you can go back and listen at any time and just say, oh yeah, I needed to review that part of that. So you can really help yourself to get into these, using these positions and just this mindset to prepare yourself for the what she calls the big poses. So Amy, you want to talk about that?
We're going to go over 9, 10, and 11. And what I really believe, these last chapters are really bringing this home. So no, whatever we don't cover, there's plenty there for you. We want to encourage you to do the book, go back to all the previous shows, get a partner. I recommend at least one people, maybe a couple, that you have a call or a meeting once a week, because now it's about, okay, we've learned about this. No, there's lots of great research And there's lots of great practices to do. Now, what we want to encourage you to do in these last few chapters here is to how do I take this and customize it for myself and actually put it into practice. And so on part 9 there, she talks about when would you use it. And that's on page 242. And talks about when you're entering new situations, meeting new people, speaking up for yourself or for someone else, when requesting help, when ending a relationship, when quitting a job, before giving critical feedback. And one that I have found myself doing, and I recommended, as a matter of fact, to several people, but two the day that I was doing coaching sessions with who were entering, one is about to get a new job, let us pray, and has critical interviews tomorrow. So what I had him do was imagine himself in that job. Imagine himself in the interview tomorrow. It's going to be an interview at lunchtime with a physical in person. So I said, imagine how you'll be sitting in that power position, relaxed and comfortable. And imagine yourself in the job simultaneously and do those positions. So I had him practice those at what he would, how he would be in a relaxed power mode at lunch and how he would be in a power mode actually in the position. And it was funny. I found myself doing that again with another person before she was sending a critical letter that could help her get a very important position in where she currently works. And before she pushed the application for this next phase, I had her again imagine herself in that position, stand in that position, and push the button to launch that paperwork. So I want to encourage you to be looking at what these different poses are. For me, it's like standing like Peter Pan. We know where you certainly look at the power positions, right? Robin will bring that to light a little bit more. But also find your own way. Like in the last chapter, they talked about these kids standing in the starfish position. That's what worked for them, being open, feeling confident. And so it's finding your own way and how you can do it. So before moving on any further, so we're in 9 there. So that she talks about when to use it. And then really for the whole rest of the chapter, there's a whole lot of great ways on how to use it in different ways. I mean, all these next two pages, 243 through 248, are just ways that you can use it. Recommend is you make copies of these pages or take notes of which ones you could use and just start practicing and getting people to practice with. So how about you as part 9, Robin?
Yeah, Amy, just a couple of those is one of the ones that I really liked is, you know, she said, in some ways, every day is a challenge. So prepare by power posing your first thing in the morning when you get out of bed and practice a couple of your favorite poses just for a couple minutes. So part of that could be just like getting up and stretching. You know, you want to get up and kind of stretch and check your body and stuff once you get out of bed. But a part of that could be, you know, within that stretch, you could go ahead and hold a power pose. I thought that was really a great idea. And one that I really thought was great, too, she said, if you can't strike a physical pose, do it mentally. Imagine yourself in the most powerful, expansive pose you can and be a superhero with your own thought bubble. And, you know, it's been shown over and over again, just like with Olympic athletes, you know, once they've done it, they can go ahead and do it in your mind. So it's a matter of practicing it a couple of times and then being able to just do it on a mental level. And I know I've had the privilege of learning how to do some Tai Chi and Qigong and things like that. And I've caught myself in stressful situations sometimes, just going through and just being able to balance your Qi energy and things like that, which is like, you know, you put your hands over your head and then just kind of draw the hands down to the ground and being able to just tap into that slow movement within yourself when you do that. Your body has already experienced it, so you can go ahead and invoke that within yourself just by calling it up as a memory. And I thought that was just a really good reminder of people of thinking like, you know, I can't do this in the elevator or at my cubicle. How am I going to be able to do this? It's like once the body knows, you can invoke it with just within a thought. So I think that was a really powerful suggestion.
Well, I like here, and she talks about when you're talking doing it mentally, be a superhero in your own thought bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, what a visual that is in your thought bubble.
Yeah, your thought bubble. Exactly. So, you know, again, being able to take your own power. And, you know, and one thing I've really gotten out of these last few chapters is just being able to, you know, come from your own power and slow down. you know, have it be where there's the pauses and allow yourself to go at a slower rhythm and not feeling like you have to fill every moment with something. That moment could be in a in a place of just quiet and just that, you know, it's just a strength pause instead of having it be something where you're having silence and people are feeling uncomfortable. It's allowing that comfortableness. It's like we go back to that one story about the reverend, that young reverend in the one story where he was in Boston. And he had gone in, remember, he had helped with all the gang fighting and things like that they had going on. And then, you know, later on, he would come and he would speak in Amy Cuddy's classes. And he'd just have, you know, casual jeans on, but he'd have a really crisp shirt and tie and all that stuff on. And every sentence was very, you know, thoughtful. And he was very powerful in his pauses. And that's something that's really stuck with me when it comes to being able to just speak. And let that be where the pauses are just as important as the words that you're saying. So I thought that was really another good suggestion.
Right, slowing down your speech and being very intentional, very focused, very present. But also here on 244, when he talks about present with posture, is it as important as it is to adopt bold power poses before challenging situations, it is just as important to maintain less bold, but still strong, upright, and open postures during challenging situations. So it's kind of like you use those big, exaggerated to kind of open up, get yourself ready, and then once you're there, you kind of calm into it.
Yeah, I like that, calm into it. Mm-hmm. Because you've already extended yourself to that point, so it's just a matter of a softer version of what you're doing. Yeah.
It's almost like you don't have to prove anything, right? You don't have to prove anything.
Right. Yeah.
And then the three steps that she has here, obviously, while presenting or interacting, sit up or stand up straight. Keep your shoulders back and your chest open. Breathe slowly and deeply. Keep your chin up and level. Don't raise it as so far up that you're looking down your nose at people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just, if you remember that and just kind of practice that, to make that, you know, something that's a very normal thing for you.
Yeah, that reminds me of Jon Kabat-Zinn. We talked about him before on the show because he's really been such a great teacher of mindfulness and yoga for people that have had challenging medical situations with themselves. And I always can remember, he just said, you know, sit or stand in a place of dignity. And he says, when you invite somebody to do that, they automatically take the proper position. They just kind of stand or sit in dignity. People know what that is without even really thinking about it. The shoulders do go back. The chest opens up and you just sit more in a relaxed position. So just something for people to think about with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Just good stuff.
And
good
stuff. She has said, mind your posture throughout the day. So that has several great tips for you in order to do it. Like setting up your environment. So it's easy to have the good posture. It's easy to be in those power positions. So lots of great material there. Like I said, I could definitely see making even a checklist that you could have that you would look at, you know, on a regular basis to make sure that you're doing those power poses, but also doing the things you need to stay engaged, just like with the phone, not being so humped over on the phone that you're losing your presence there, and doing the... And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but or maybe we won't. But when back to the fake it till you make it, I love your analogy early on in one of the podcasts. We talked about when you were doing gymnastics, is that you're setting up the pose, you run through it, and then you do it. It's kind of what that's about. It's really practice until you're there instead of fake it until you're there.
Yeah, a couple suggestions that she had in that part of the book I really liked was taking your phone and setting up certain times of the day where it automatically would go off to remind you to do your check-ins. I mean, I can remember in the day we used to have sport watches where it would basically, you know, it would you could set it where it would basically, a little alarm would go off every hour or whatever, you know, and the same kind of a thing. It's just these little reminders, post-its on the walls, things like that. You look at it once in a while for reminders. And then your mouse, having everything positioned on your desk, so you've got everything that you would automatically kind of expand yourself to be able to reach stuff, and you keep it there, so you would automatically keep yourself more in an upright and extended position. So I think all those are just really once you set them up, they're there to encourage you to do it all the time. It's like, it reminds me of those exercise balls. You know how some people choose to have those on their chairs instead of having, you know, the traditional chair, because those really help you with posture as well. You really can't help but sit properly on one of those balance balls that they have, and you know, and they're fun and really helps to relax the back, but yet, you know, exercise the back at the same time. So, you know, depending on your work environment, if you can get yourself an exercise ball, that would be another tool that you could have that's fun and yet really helps you to be able to and keep yourself in the proper posture. So she says, you know, seize that social opportunity you have to stretch out, such as going to the gym, mm-hmm. running, taking a yoga class, or dancing. And she said, create opportunities to expand. And I think that's really what we're talking about, is just, you know, creating those things on a mindful level for yourself instead of succumbing to the different stuff that we like. This last episode, we talked about eye hunch and eye postures, where phones and technology are really, with the eye hunch, you're really hunching over and you have all these things that are really detrimental to our posture and to our health. Andy found a really great article that Amy Cuddy had written that we have posted with this last episode, which was 294. So I encourage people to go back if you're interested in something like that. They're really life-changing just mindsets. If you realize how much, it's just that subtle thing where, you know, you're hunched over a phone instead of being able to have it where it's where you can see it, or being mindful of not using it so much to where it's going to be something that will affect you on a physical level. So it's really interesting research and information that they found. So I really love this next chapter because she was talking about nudging and self-nudging for yourself for big changes. And just like we're talking, you know, these small things that you can do to really set yourself up to where it's not a big deal, but boy, it's just like, you know, going out and walking every day, or making sure you get all your water every day, or making sure just to stop and take a few deep breaths a few times a day. Those are those little things that really can change you on a big level when it's something that you're just willing to make those commitments to having them tweaked. So go ahead, Amy.
So one thing we talked about, the power positions and how to help you. But what she talks about firstly is how she used to panic under pressure situations. And what she realized later on was that slowing down is a power move. Just as speaking slowly, mm-hmm. taking pauses and occupying space are related to power. So is taking your time to figure out how to respond and slowing down your decision-making process in high-pressure moments. So I think that it's okay to take your time. A good friend of ours owns a tea business. She's a tea educator. And, you know, one of the things that we've been saying with her for quite a long time now, she says one of the things she would panic to make decisions, and then she would regret them later. So now what she does is she says, let me make a cup of tea and be with that, and then I'll come back to you with an answer. So slow down the volley. Just because somebody mm-hmm. wants an answer now, very rarely do they have to have an answer now.
You know, when you said that, I thought of somebody kind of sitting back in like a business chair, and they put their fingertips together like in that peak, you know, and it's an open prayer pose. And that's one of the power poses, is to take that kind of a position to where, you know, you'd lean onto your desk and you'd go ahead and put your fingers together like that and have it be a power pose of just contemplation. So that automatically, when you said that, that's automatically popped in my head.
When you say power pose, when I'm hearing you say that, using your hands in that position and using your hands in different positions, there's mudras. And mm-hmm. mudras are kind of like yoga with your hands and prayer with your hands. So it's almost like you're doing a mudra when you're putting your hands in different positions that can very much give you the feeling of power, you know, because
hands
in the prayer position, right, that's a mudra. And that would be a power position. It would be a soothing position. So it's the same kind of thing. Is that would be an interesting, you know, thing to look at too. How do mudras your feeling of power?
Well, and we've even talked about another one of the other episodes, New Zealand, and how one of the languages in New Zealand is actually a special sign language. So, you know, here we know whether, you know, is it a mudra? Is it a sign language? You know, all these different ways that things are getting expressed through different positions. So that's another aspect of being able to look at these things from just a little bit different way of looking at it when it comes to positions, because with sign language, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of a sign language that would have that with the hands in that particular position for meaning. So it's interesting stuff.
In New Zealand, that they have three national languages, and one of them is sign language, which really mm-hmm. blew my mind. I had never considered that to be something that could be a national language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, huh? That's very interesting. And then thinking of it as something for being present.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about, they talk about, I like to look at kind of nudges towards transformation. And that, you know, that I like to look at it, it's like with dominoes. You start, you know, you line up all the dominoes, and they, you know, they'll do that for days or months. And then all of a sudden you hit a domino, and then all of a sudden, you know, rockets are flying and all these crazy things are happening with those dominoes going. So it's almost like putting up all those little dominoes. And then when you're ready, you hit it, and then everything transforms over, and boom, you're in a whole new place. And she talks about incremental change by baby steps. Well, one of my favorite movies, I don't know if it's a reference point for you, is What About Bob? And talking about baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. So that could be a homework assignment. Watch the movie What About Bob? It's a comedy and it's crazy, but it really brings that point home. It's like one little step, one little step, one little step. And then all of a sudden you start changing your issues. First, our behavior reinforces our behavior. And she talks about here are the research and the reasons why, in terms of the brain, why baby steps really help you to make those changes. So that would be a really good read, taking the time to really look at the research and why it is that the brain loves small incremental changes, that all of a sudden you've made a huge change, but it didn't feel like it because it was a series of small changes.
Yeah, I'd seen a recent article about that, about, you know, New Year's resolutions. And how that's the reason why they don't work is because of these like huge, you know, decisions for like some this radical change of like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds instead of I'm going to lose 5 pounds, you know, and it's just like working their way and making it a baby step thing instead of that this huge, you know, Grand Canyon idea goal for people to be able to move into stuff. So it's really neat that, you know, we're finally figuring out how it really works with the brain instead of having these grand ideas and having these baby ideas that move us in the right direction. So that's, you know, I always think of that when they talk about, you know, navigating for a plane and how, you know, you set off, but yet you're still having to make small incremental adjustments the whole time when you're flying to have it, you know, have yourself finally go in the right direction. So I think that's always an interesting thing of looking at that.
Yeah, and you're creating a new habit instead of a one-time shot change that you is not really going to work. People say, "Oh, I'm gonna whatever's drinking, or I'm gonna, you know, all of a sudden be organized." Well, if you're not a person that's used to being organized, there's some skills you have to learn before you can do that, and then you do those skills over and over and over again, and then you become good at it. I do a lot of customer service training, and the fellow that I did it with, he would say, you know, when working with people on how to be effective with people in relationship building, that whatever your age is, let's say you're 40 years old, it took you 40 years to learn how to communicate like this. It may take you a week or two to change it. So it's mm-hmm. about going like, okay, it took me a while to get here. It may take me a little while to get to a new point. And you do that by repetition over and over and over again, which would be repetition.
Yeah, just as just kind of a preview, Amy's been going through a book on sobriety and really just changing habits with Jack Canfield. And that's going to be a show that we're going to be doing maybe next week or in the next couple weeks. So I'm excited for her to be coming on and talking about that book. So we're going to be having that now that we're done with Presence. We'll be moving into that one, just a kind of an overview and how she's feeling about it. So anything you want to say about that, just as kind of passing, Amy?
What I love about it is it's a 30-day process, and each day you could spend the rest of your life on, and it's really focused on every day taking action and repetitively taking action, taking action, taking action, until you create a new set point of how you are. And so, and it's really bringing it home in a whole new way. So, yeah, I definitely want to talk about that and recommend it. It's called the 30-Day Sobriety Solution. And the interesting enough, 2 years ago, I was able to spend a little bit of time with Jack, and he was talking about creating this book 2 years ago. So to see this just coming out is really exciting to me, having known that it was in process. Yeah, and to actually mm-hmm. see it and loving his work. So we'll talk more about that later. So that's, you know, so chapter 10 is all about making new habits, knowing that it's small steps are the things that really bring you there. And I love how she talks about nudges. And that really it is. It, you know, we certainly, and what a coach does is it looks like you're making a commitment to that coach or that teacher or that mentor, but you're really not. You're making the commitment to yourself. And so it really is always about self-nudges. Nobody makes changes for you. You have to make them for yourself, or they don't really change it. They're just doing something for somebody else. So we're sliding into home base here in Chapter 11, and lots of great examples here for you to look at in order to help you to reinforce, oh, my goodness, this stuff really works. And what we really want to say is, so if you need the research, it's there. If you need the different types of practices and how to do it, the information is there. And so now it's about you customizing it, and you actually, they call it practice for a reason, you do it. You practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very beginning, mm-hmm. she talks about part 11 here, fake it until you become it. And I really get strongly that that's kind of antiquated, and it's because we're talking about being authentic. So fake doesn't fit with that, but it's really practice until you become it, which I really, really love the feeling of that.
Yeah, there's a quote at the beginning of that book, at the beginning of that chapter. It's from Walt Whitman that says, I am larger, better than I thought. I did not know I held so much goodness. I thought that was a great quote.
It's beautiful.
I think, and you could have just a sign on your wall that said, I hold so much goodness. That would be great.
And you do.
And we have
a heads up, and I definitely have an ending point I want to get to at the end of this chapter. But on 272, she talks about an actor, and we have an actress in the family, mm-hmm. Casey, and how he used these power positions to help himself to get ready for audition. And he ended up being in the movie Wild. And it's funny because he's a guy. He talks about using the Wonder Woman pose. And your daughter, my niece, Katie, she came to Vegas this weekend, and we were playing the Wonder Woman game, casino game. Or a slot machine, and we were standing in the power position as we were playing, and she was winning. So there may be something to that. So I don't know. We haven't done enough research, so we'll have to do more on that. But
the whole gambling thing on that, yeah. And you can see you go into a casino. No power posing for any of you people, okay?
That's right. They were just doing research here. Nothing.
Yeah, it's
here.
Okay. I can do it in the parking lot, or I can do it at home before I get to the casino. It's okay. Setting up my energy. Yeah, I think that's really, really cool. So.
You want to go ahead and talk about the vets?
Yeah.
We come back to that, but I think one part that's really, really important is she talked about using this in interviewing. So there's a really great example on 275 or a story about how this woman did this and actually helped her in interviews. And so I really wanted to support people in the interview process to be doing that power pose before you get there, and even if it's on the phone, doing that power posing. And on 283, they talk about, yes, with veterans and how they receive significant help by using body language. So there's, information there. There was a particular veteran that said, I really took your information and personal experiences and then been using them, found out that his poses were subconsciously isolating. And so he started opening up and then started being able to connect with more people, but didn't realize that he was until he started noticing his positioning. And then we're rounding third here. There's also on page 287, a clinical psychologist in South Africa says, using power poses to enable my patients to change negative belief sets. When they feel trapped in a belief, I get them to stand in a power position. They all report that they can no longer hold a negative belief while standing in that posture.
Wow, isn't that great? That's so great.
I think so. So I think when you feel you're being really negative, and one thing that you could do about it is to stand. And I said just one last thing, and I'll let you bring this home. The very last page, 296, she quotes William James and says, begin to be now what you will be hereafter. So stand in it. Stand in who you choose to be until you are there.
And remembering that, once I've stood in that and I embodied it, I can bring it back through a thought. I can bring it through and with just my breath. There's all different things that are just really, really powerful to that. And one thing I wanted to touch on real quick is this isn't just limited to human beings. They also have it with horses and things like that they've been able to find ways of using behaviors with animals and empowering them as well. The example was for a horse that was down in the herd, and a trainer basically used these principles with their behaviors and wanted up, having this horse just take it like water. It was just such an amazing thing. So all kinds of research, all kinds of wonderful things that are available with this book, and can't recommend it highly enough. But just want to thank Amy and Andy and all our diners for everybody who's participated with this cafe book club book. And we look forward to some just new stuff that's going to be happening. Our next few, like I said, the next few shows, we're going to be doing a coverage with one with Jack Canfield. And we're also going to be doing, there's a lot of research out there now with adult coloring books. And I've been really fascinated with that. So we're going to be doing a special episode talking about that and some of the things that they found with that. So get out your colors and your coloring book and go for it, because there's just so many wonderful things that are happening with that. So look forward to people getting in the forum and giving us their feedback with the different ideas with this book. Any books that you'd like us to go ahead and review for consideration, we'd really love for you to put that out there as well. And again, everything is available at thetransformation-cafe.com. So, Miss Amy, as always, I thank you for being my co-host and my wonderful sister.
An honor to be here. I enjoy this very much.
Okay, you guys, everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time here at the Transformation Cafe. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.